Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 218, the stanzas 1 and 6. O thou great shepherd of thy chosen race, who leadest like a flock thy Israel dear, from out the cherubim reveal thy face before our host, and now let thy might appear. And what follows, Psalter 218, the stanzas 1 and 6. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Zechariah 4. And afterwards from the Confession of Faith, Article 28. Zechariah 4. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of a sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, a grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hand shall also finish it, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Then answered I and said unto him, What are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick, and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, What be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then said he, These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. The Confession of Faith, Article 28. Everyone is bound to join himself to the true church. We believe, since this holy congregation is an assembly of those who are saved, and out of it there is no salvation, that no person of whatsoever state or condition he may be ought to withdraw himself to live in a separate state from it, but that all men are in duty bound to join and unite themselves with it, maintaining the unity of the church. submitting themselves to the doctrine and discipline thereof, bowing their necks under the yoke of Jesus Christ, and as mutual members of the same body, serving to the edification of the brethren, according to the talents God has given them, and that this may be the more effectually observed, it is the duty of all believers, according to the word of God, to separate themselves from those who do not belong to the church, and to join themselves to this congregation, wheresoever God hath established it, even though the magistrates and edicts of princes be against it, yea, though they should suffer death or any other corporal punishment. Therefore, all those who separate themselves from the same or do not join themselves to it act contrary to the ordinance of God. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then by renewal on this Lord's day, then thou granteth unto us and our children the opportunity to gather ourselves under the means of grace. Wilt thou of blessed be the after preacher of what was read and heard in this morning hour, and may it please thee by the work of thy Holy Spirit to bless thy word in this afternoon. For the conversion of sinners, and for the instruction, for the encouragement, for the comfort, and for the correction of thy people. Lord, thou knowest who they are, but for them there can be so many questions, can be so many riddles, and that oftentimes with tears and with sighs that they are given to say, "'Tis a point I long to know. Oft it causes anxious thought. Am I thine or am I not, ah, Lord? May there be such ones in our midst, and wilt thou grant them a clear answer in this afternoon. Ah, then surely, then they shall return to their homes rejoicing. Wilt thou bless the manifold means of grace in the church, in the family circles, in the Christian school. Oh, what all awaits for thy blessing, we have heard it, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Ah, Lord, thou hast promised that it shall not return void unto thee, and to that end in this afternoon hour, may it be a savor of life unto life, and not a savor of death unto death. Then we have heard from the writings of our fathers of that church, it is a great privilege to be under the external administration, to be part of thy church, to be under the prayers, the proclamation of thy word, the admonishments. But, Lord, we need to become a living member of that living church with that living King. Then it is well for the time, then it is well for eternity. We commend thy church unto thee over the length and the breadth of the earth. Remember all thy truly called servants, elders, deacons. Wilt thou grant thy help? Wilt thou also remember the students in this day? uphold the persecuted church. There are so many countries where thy church can no longer go out in and out freely. We commend unto thee the Jewish nation, where there is such a thick veil that lies over them. But, oh, may it please thee according to thy promise, that it may be removed, not only in the way of understanding, but more so in the way of experience. Remember all mission work, our mission field. Remember thy servants and the team. May thy word be richly blessed. And then we may humbly ask thee by renewal, that a heart may truly be inclined by thee, that is so indispensable, that the weight of the matter may be bound upon the heart, burdened, and that they may come forward and declare what lieth on their hearts. Remember all Bible translators and those that bring thy holy word to the end of the earth, many times with impossibilities, with difficulties, and when there is no way, well, to make a way. Remember all the needy ones, ah, Lord, continue to remember all the mourning ones amongst us. Remember all the elderly ones. Remember our care home, all the residents with those that may compassionately care for them. Remember all under the physician's care. Remember the sick relatives. The circumstances are known unto thee. Well, thou remember the crosses and the burdens. We commend unto thee prodigal sons and prodigal daughters that are wandering upon the face of the earth or under a strange religion. May it please thee to shoot an arrow in their heart, and then they shall say, ah, with that prodigal son of the scriptures, that they shall return and say that they are no more worthy to be a son. Then they shall be happy if they may be a servant, if they may but have a place in the church of God. Well, thou remember the nations of the earth under all the callings, under thy solemn speaking. Well, thou remember our nation, our province. We have departed so far away from thee, and now we humbly ask thee, well, thou grant thy Holy Spirit, in speaking and in listening, well, thou bless and gladden us with thy special favor, with thy special presence, and with thy special works, that it may be heard that sons and daughters may be born in Zion, and that thy Zion may not despise the day of small things, but that they may not rest thereupon, being humbly given to beg of thee for those further leadings, as we have heard out of thy holy word. Lord, be so a surprising God. Give then a good hour together, for an unworthy people that sin everything away. But, thou hast declared in thy word, I do it not for your sake, O house of Israel, but I do it for my great name's sake. But then there is also written, I will be inquired of the house of Israel to do it for them. Do it then, Lord, for the coming of thy kingdom and for the glory of thy great and worthy name. Pardon us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 414, the stanzas 1 and 2. O Lord, how swiftly grows the number of my foes, who wantonly oppress me. Yea, multiplied are they that rise to my dismay, and day by day distress me. And what follows, Psalter 414, the stanzas 1 and 2.
Thank you.
in this afternoon hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention by renewal for our text words, which you can find in Zechariah 4, the verses 6 and 7. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Our text words speak of the fifth night vision of Zechariah of the seven golden candlesticks. Five thoughts. First, the puzzling sight in this vision, the verses 1 through 5. Secondly, the necessary encouragement in this vision, the verses 6 and the first part of the seventh verse. Thirdly, the promised completion in this vision, verse 7, the second part through verse 9. Fourthly, the tender exhortation in this vision in verse 10. And fifthly, the declared mystery in this vision, the verses 11 through 14. A beloved congregation, last time we have heard of the wonderful sight that the prophet Zechariah was given to see. A candlestick, all of gold, a bowl, seven pipes going to each candlestick, and two olive trees, the one on the right and on the left. And in the context of the circumstances, the foundation was laid. The builders have commenced rebuilding, but there were many fears and many impossibilities. But then we have heard also of the necessary encouragement that the Lord has said unto Zechariah. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And that is also the only hope for us and our children. Paul has written to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 3, the verses 6 and 7. It is Paul that planteth, it is Apollos that watereth, but it is the Lord that giveth the increase. And to that end, the necessity that we faithfully place ourselves under the means of grace, and that we are given to humbly beg of the Lord, that he may richly bless his word to the hearts of young and old. Thus, builders, be not too discouraged, be not too dismayed. 'Tis not your work, it is my work. It is my cause, it is my kingdom and my glory. And then the God of truth has declared that the temple shall be finished. But ah, that people, they have so many buts. It is true, when they may be given to look upon their great God, that he is the Almighty One, that he is the Faithful One, and what he has promised in his word, then there may be times that the church may look over all the difficulties as simply to believe and simply to follow. Ah, that is such a blessed life, to entrust it into the hands of the Lord, that he shall continue that work. But now, oh, it is many times in these visions that the Lord is before that people, before they have time to come up with all their buts, that the Lord knoweth what liveth in their hearts, what a blessing that is, when that may be in the house of God, when it may be declared from the housetops, what has been experienced in the inner chamber. And to that end, then in verse 7, who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. And then our boys and girls, they know what mountains are. If we travel out west to a certain destination, then in the distance, the closer we come, the higher and higher they look. But then through those mountains, then surveyors, they have figured out, they have planned the road. And then even when we look straight at the mountain, we see no road. Then there are roads that go through those mountains. But now imagine if you were traveling to a certain destination, and then on the road there would be a sign with the mountains before, that in a few kilometers the road ends, and that you finally come to a board that you can go no further, and that you see that high mountain in front, mountains on the right, mountains on the left, even so high that their peaks is in the cloud, then how disappointed and discouraged you would be, because then you have to turn back. And now in our chapter, when the Lord addresses his people, who art thou, O great mountain? Then there is spoken of such a mountain. Ah, there can be many mountains in our lives, but it is in the singular. Then it speaks of a special mountain. And those mountains, they are mountains of impossibilities, that we do not see the way no more. Maybe, oh, it cannot be different, because in this life, there are many difficulties, there are many trials. Maybe in this afternoon there are those sitting in their bench, listening at home, that life is going quite smoothly, and that you do not have so many big mountains, then you have reasons to bend your knees and thank the Lord that there are not so many mountains. But what a mountains there can be. Mountains of impossibilities. And with those mountains, oh, many times, when we have not so many mountains or little hills that we can climb over, then we do not need the Lord so much. But now those mountains, those high mountains, those great mountains, then in the context, then in the first place, for the Jews that have returned for those builders, the mountain of the enemies, they are so mighty, they are so strong. The letter of that decree was still in force. They were not allowed to build, but the Lord has commanded by Haggai and Zechariah that they must commence. They have obeyed God more than man, and so they have begun. But there were so many fears that when the king would hear thereof, that he would send an army and that they would have to quit building, and perhaps that they would be taking them captives. But there are many other mountains in the life of the church. And now in our text words, then the Lord is given to speak to the mountain, but many times those mountains, they speak to the child of God. And what a terrible things they can tell the child that they are given to tremble. That those mountains tell the child that they shall never overcome, that they shall soon be consumed. Let us mention some of those mountains. Then let us first mention the great and high mountain of sin. Have we learned that mountain, congregation? The mountain of our sins. And that mountain, that is a mountain that separates between the sinner and the Lord, because the Lord can have no communion with the sinner. That is Mount Sinai. It thunders so loud. And then with the children of Israel, then they are given to tremble greatly. And now, for the true child of God, it is a God whom they have learned to love, and a God whom they cannot miss. And that people, they can be so busy with their works, hoping that that mountain may become smaller and smaller. And now what does the church learn? That with their sins, that they make that mountain higher and higher, and that they are afraid that eventually that that mountain shall fall on them and that they shall be consumed. Then we could speak of the mountain of unfulfilled promises. Think of Joseph with those two beautiful dreams. What a blessing and encouragement in the church when the Lord may work in the hearts of our young people. How is it with our youth? Are there amongst us that are not strange to that mountain of sin, that you have learned that you have done so much evil against so much good, and that the justice of God demands perfect satisfaction, that you are trying to remove that mountain, that caused many bitter tears that the child is given to shed. Thus promises unfulfilled. Read the Psalms of David when he was persecuted with the anointing oil upon his head, where he has received the promise that he shall become king. But all the mountains of difficulties, what a mountains of unbelief there can be, that according to human reckoning, that it can never be, and that it shall never be. And then that mountain, oh, with the top in the clouds that they can, that the Lord is so hidden, then we could speak of the mountains of providential difficulties. We have examples in the Bible. Think of 2 Kings 4, of that widow with two boys, and the creditors have come and says, pay up, or we shall take your two boys, shall work for us to pay for that debt. Think of the widow of Zarephath that was gathering a few sticks, baked the last meal, and then they would die together. Oh, it can be the mountains of unpaid debt when they come in the mail. What a fear, what an anxiety it can cause. Then we could speak, let us also speak of the mountains of the tasks that are laid upon us, can be for our children. When you have to write a test, maybe a subject that does not come so easy, that you do your best, because we must do our best. We must study hard. If we do not study, then we can never honestly pray to the Lord to help us. But that test that seems to be such a high mountain that it seems that your stomach goes into knots, that you do not say so much, and that you are sure that you shall never pass. Thus, what a mountains there can be. But that is not only in the lives of boys and girls. Oh, ask office bearers what the Lord lays upon their shoulder. What a mountain that can be. Impossible from their side when they look at themselves, so weak, so feeble. They are not as they ought to be. How can the Lord ever use such an instrument? Sometime it can even be that those mountains are so high that they think it is best to run away. Nevertheless, concerning these mountains, then the Lord has given a special encouragement. We could speak of the mountains of sickness, of approaching death. Think of Hezekiah. In Isaiah 38, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. What a mountain that was. He turned himself to the wall. I am oppressed. He asked that the Lord would undertake for him. But now the Lord had a special message. Who art thou, O great mountain? The Lord does not say that there were not mountains. The Lord does not say to his church that they are not great. But the Lord in our text is saying that he is much greater and much mightier than all the mountains put together, the mountains that reach into the sky. And therefore the precious encouragement, who art thou, O great mountain? And then the mountain before Zerubbabel. And Zerubbabel, that is a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Oh, then we may speak of Christ in his prophetical office, that he may teach that people his divine attributes, who he is. Oh, then concerning his kingly office, that he is the King of Kings and that he is the Lord of Lords. The King of the Medes and the Persians, just a little instrument in the hand of the Lord. And in Proverbs 21, verse 1, that the hand of the Lord is in the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, as rivers of waters, he turneth it whithersoever he will. This church of God, oh, with that building, you have so many fears, but have I not commanded it? It is my cause, my glory, and the king of the Medes and Persians with that powerful army, they can do no more than I permit. And what I permitteth them to do, that is for the welfare of the church. Sometime it is so necessary that people may have a closer, a more tender life to the Lord. But who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. Speaks of his priestly office. Oh, then that mountain of sin. And people of God, what a high mountain that is. Also for the unconverted. That separates and that worketh the sorrow in the heart of his people. That separation that is worse than death. And therefore, they become so busy, so exercised. Then they learn that mountain needs to be taken away. And that needs to be taken away here in the time. Because otherwise at the end that mountain shall fall on them. And they shall be consumed. Then they shall have to pay for themselves. But who art thou, O great mountain? before Zerubbabel, thus before Christ, thou shalt become a plain. How was that possible? Then Christ has taken all the sins of all his people upon him. We do not know who those chosen ones are. And therefore it is declared that it is possible for each and every one of us, but it needs to be experienced. And now what has Christ done? Always great love, his great willingness, because he had no sin of self. He was the Lamb without blemish, perfectly white, as we have heard from the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 8. But now Christ, that people may be restored, brought back to the Father heart of God, then the great Zerubbabel, the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, he has given himself in the counsel of peace. He has come in the fullness of time. And now he has taken that great mountain. Oh, what a mountain of sin that is. Then he was willing to place that mountain upon his back. And that mountain that has brought him to the depths of hell. Oh, he has suffered the agonies of hell. Oh, what his people are worthy to suffer. And now he has satisfied the justice of his Father. Oh, he has removed that mountain with the glorification of all the attributes of his Father. Justice was satisfied. He has cried out with the sixth crossword, "It is finished." And to that end, then we read that mountain has completely disappeared, could not be found, because we read in our text, "Thou shalt become a plain." Then the child of God receives access back to the Father heart of God. Our third thought, the promised completion in this vision. Then the church, Zechariah, had wonderful things to tell to those builders that were filled with so many fears, that had so many mountains. And now in the heart of those builders, the foundation was laid. They have resumed that rebuilding, but would it ever be finished? And then further, the Lord has added, we would say, even before they had opportunity to ask it. Then we read, "And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it." And now we must not understand it, that the builders first did most of it, already stressed, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus we must not understand that man begins that building, and then Zerubbabel, he puts that headstone on top, crying, "Grace, grace unto it." No, because then it is declared in verse 9, "The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hand shall also finish it, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you." Historians tell us that with the building of the temple, when the material was brought to the building site, that at the beginning, that they have sent first the cornerstone, a large stone, the foundational stone. But together with that foundational stone, then they have also sent the top stone. That is the crowning stone. That would be the stone that would be on top of the temple. And now when the suppliers, when they have sent those two stones, then there was a place for that foundational stone. But for the headstone, no place. And the Jewish historians tell us that they have put that stone aside because they did not know what to do with that stone. And then they have continued to rebuild the temple. And then at the end, no headstone. And then they have sent messengers to the suppliers that were hewing out those stones and that were bringing the material for the temple. Then they have said, we are missing that capstone. And then the suppliers, they have sent a message. But we have sent that headstone together with the corner and foundational stone. And then they have looked, and sure enough, they have found it set aside. As there are people that understand it, when the Lord begins, then that headstone is so hidden, and then we do not know what we must do with that headstone. But with the further leadings, then it becomes necessary. And then when we consider what the historians tell us, then we read in Psalm 118, verse 22, the stone which the builders refused to own is become the headstone of the corner. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will be glad in it. Thus that headstone that speaks of the sealing work of the Holy Spirit, the assurance for the child of God. Oh, what a precious truth. Oh, what an encouragement for the child of God. Do we not read in Revelations 1 verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty, thus the beginning and also the ending. Or do you think, congregation, that the Lord shall begin that good work? Do you think that the Lord shall draw with the cords of love? Do you think that the Spirit shall uncover the sinner to place a sinner in his missing? Do you think that the Lord shall grant unto sinners that, as we read in the Beatitudes, what Christ has declared in Matthew 5, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those that mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Oh, do you think the Spirit shall grant to be given to experience the wonderful things of the Lord, to experience the blessings of the service of the Lord? Oh, do you think that the Lord shall begin, and those true seekers, and that after a while, and it is true, we read in the Bible of temporal believers, and what a fear that can be when the Lord begins. But oh, those true seekers, then they are given to declare before an all-knowing God, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Shall that foundation be laid? It is true. It's laid still for a long time, maybe such souls in my midst. But shall the Lord now only allow that temple to partly be finished, and that the enemy shall come by and say, there's now their temple. They were given to confess that the Lord shall finish it, and it is true. The life of the people of God, later they are given to reflect when it was good, what they have spoken, had they but never spoken, because it seems it shall never be finished. It seems that that headstone shall never be placed upon that work. It seems that it is so impossible. It seems with all their hopes and expectations that the mountains only become higher, that it shall not be finished. Oh, in the context, shall the Lord then allow to be a half or three-quarter finished temple, and then to cease, and that the enemy shall come by, and that they shall say, was the Lord not able to help them to finish that temple? Are the enemies now stronger? No, it cannot be. It never shall be. I am the Alpha and the Omega. And that implies also the middle. Everything that lies in between. Ah, the work of the Lord that standeth so sure. A triune God, the work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Our forethought, the tender exhortation in this vision. Let us first sing. Psalter 381, the stanzas 3 and 4. O Lord, enthroned in glory bright, Thou reignest in the heavenly height. The proud in vain Thy favor seek, but Thou wast mercy for the meek. Though troubled though my pathway be, Thou wilt revive and strengthen me. And what follows, 381, 3 and 4. had the fifth night vision of Zechariah of the seven golden candlesticks, the puzzling sight, the necessary encouragement, the promised completion, and now the tender exhortation in this vision. Then undoubtedly there are souls in my midst that have thought, when that may now take place, if it shall ever take place. O souls that are given to believe that for the Lord there is nothing too wonderful. Souls that are given to believe that He is the Alpha and the Omega of people. That is given to firmly believe that the Lord shall never forsake the work of His own hands. But there are those souls, do you know what their difficulty is? Not that they do not have hope. Not that they have experienced wonderful things. But many times the question arises, has there now ever truly been a beginning? Or have I begun myself, or providential circumstances, a tender conscience, emotional? Thus that is the question. And to that end, the prophet, for the prophet Zechariah, he did not have to look for a text, because the Lord has given him a clear message to a particular people under particular circumstances. And now what can be the danger? That there is a people that are given to despise the day of small things. Of course, to do it, then we need to have experienced those things. And when the Lord grants it by His Spirit, then those small things, they become very big. Particular needs, an impression of our sinnership, mountains of impossibility and of unbelief. And when the Lord comes over, oh, then surely, then those day of small things, then they are not small things. Ah, then the church may be given to rejoice. But unbelief, impossibilities, and therefore the prophet is asked, for who hath despised the day of small things? Thus that is also a question of examination, whether the Lord has begun that good work of grace by His Spirit in our hearts. And when that is so, whether we have despised the day of small things. And then I hear a soul say, but do you know what my difficulty is? If I now knew for sure that it was the good work of the Lord begun in my heart, then I would never despise it. But there are so many riddles and there are so many questions that there is that fear many times. What if it is all amiss? And then I can rejoice and speak of the day of small things, but many times, oh, not always, oh, when the Lord comes over, and that people is given to rejoice, then they may be given to believe that He is the Alpha and the Omega, and also the middle, that He shall perform that good work which He has begun. that they may travel their pathway with gladness. For who hath despised the day of small things? Oh, if my beginning may only be of the Lord. And if we may have that assurance that the Lord has begun that work, and do not think, congregation, that the Lord always has a doubting people. No. In faith, there is sureness. That people, even in the beginning, they may sing of the precious ways of the Lord. They have made that precious choice. They have set their face Zionwards. And even with the greatest mountains, they shall press forward with the help of the Lord. But there can be so many difficulties. And now, if that people was now given to trust in their beginning, what then? Then we would trust in that beginning, and then we would not need the further work. We would not need that greater Zerubbabel, and we would not be given for that headstone. Thus we may say that the fear of God's people, that must keep them from presumption, and their faith must keep them from despair, a people tossed to and fro. For who hath despised the day of small things? We think in the context, then the Jewish people, they have experienced wonderful and marvelous things that they could not deny, that this is now the work of the Lord. Just think, Ezra 1 verse 1, that the Lord has stirred up the heart of the great King Cyrus, that he has given them the command to return to Jerusalem and build the temple. Oh, who hath despised the day of small things? Was it a day of small things when the Lord has granted them traveling mercies? Was it a day of small things that the Lord has given a willing people, that they were willing to leave the ease of Babylon and travel that long distance to rebuild the temple? Was it a day of small things when that altar was built in the seventh month, and when the sacrifices were brought after 70 years? Oh, was it a day of small things when the foundation of the temple was laid in Ezra 3, when the old ones were given to weep, but that the youth was given to sing? Oh, was that a small thing for the youth when they were encouraged? Oh, is it a small thing when the Lord has sent us two prophets, and that they were commanded to begin rebuilding the temple by renewal? Who hath despised the day of small things? We could mention many wonderful things that people has given to experience. When they were wrought upon, when they were stopped, when they were turned, when they received new longings, desires. Maybe formerly what was a burden, that now became a delight. Oh, formerly faithful coming to church, must always do that, but was form and duty. But when the Lord has worked, then it has become so different. Then it has become their life, the most important. They need to be reconciled. Who hath despised the day of small things? When that people may be given to receive a little instruction out of His holy word. Who hath despised the day of small things? When the Lord has answered their prayers. When it's true later, those thoughts can arise. Maybe it was only the providence, even chance, although they know that there is no chance with the Lord. Who hath despised the day of small things? the Lord's providential leadings, when they may hear their life declared, who hath despised the day of small things. Many a child of God has brought darkness upon themselves because they have despised the day of small things. Why do that people do that? Are they not glad with what they have received? Have they not rejoiced? There are different reasons. With the experience of those small things, then unbelief comes, and Satan comes with many questions, pointing at their heart, evil within. Everything that is amiss may be broken promises, and that a voice says, do you not really believe that the Lord has begun in your life? Would it then not be different? Would you then not be holier? Would there not be a more rejoicing? Would you now be not going to, as it says in the Bible, to go from strength to strength? And it seems in your life that it is going backwards. Who hath despised the day of small things? Can be because of darkness that they have so little light upon the leadings of the Lord. Can also be not realizing it, but that it is pride, that before they speak, they want to be enabled to speak of greater things and a greater measure of assurance. That people many times think, such a poor beggar and such a poor sinner, I do not think that there are so many upon the world and even in the church. It is a great privilege when those travelers, those daughters of Jerusalem, when they may meet another daughter, when they may be given to speak heart to heart, and that they may hear that maybe my way is not quite as strange as I thought, but that there are more of those daughters that are struggling with the same matters. And we have heard it out of the Song of Solomon chapter 5, that those daughters are so careful to express themselves, that they have more questions than answers. Who hath despised the day of small things? Can be because of corruptions, the evil of their heart, that they have so many temptations. Who hath despised the day of small things? Are there souls that understand it? All many reasons. And now it is necessary that it may become our guilt, because when we despise the day of small things, then we grieve the Spirit, and then God is dishonored. To make it even plainer for souls, let us mention a natural example. A husband and wife with many children. A good marriage where love may abound, that is a blessing. But that the house is too small. Not a seeking for luxury, but there is a need. Oh, the children in bunk beds, maybe some sleeping in the hall, around the table, only part of the family, other ones at a little table. And then the plan is to build a house. And the foundation is in the ground. Then if it is right, then that wife, also the husband, but then the wife would be given to rejoice with that foundation. If she would still be sad despise that foundation, that would be very foolish. Then that wife should rejoice in that foundation because it is the beginning of a house which they have planned and which they have drawn out. But then if that house came to a standstill with that foundation, and that wife would continue to be so happy, that would be a puzzle to the husband. And that the husband says, how can you be so happy when that house has come to a standstill? And that wife would say, well, the foundation, that is the beginning. And it is true to rejoice, but when it comes to a standstill, if it is right, then there shall be a desire that that house may be finished, and that in due time the family may move in a roomier house. I think we can understand the instruction. The way to heaven, that is called in Matthew 7, the verses 13 and 14, a very narrow way. On the one hand, not to despise the day of small things. And on the other hand, not to rest thereupon, to make it our foundation, the foundation of the church, that is Christ and Him crucified. Who hath despised the day of small things? And I know, souls, when you may receive freedom to unburden yourself, to tell what the Lord has done, then there shall be those times that you wished that you have never spoken one word. Times with all your riddles, unanswered prayers, providential difficulties, and the mountain of sin, all where you had hoped to become holier and holier, and now only to become a greater sinner, the mountain of sin, only becoming higher. Ah, then there shall be those times that you think, had I but never spoken. But there's also an other side. When that people despises the day of small things, when they are so still so silent, it is true. When the Lord works, then we shall speak with our walk. Then it cannot be hidden that we have made that good choice. But ah, for a people that is given to despise the day of small things, and I know that people can have that desire. Oh, there can be times when it is good that they have a desire to tell the whole world what they have done, not to tell how converted they are, but what the Lord has done. Then they may be given to rejoice. But for that people that remain so silent, then it shall become their guilt. And I believe the guilt of keeping silence is greater than the distress when we think we have even spoken too much. Oh, it is true. When the Lord works and when the Lord grants blessings, then there can be times that it is so full that that people speaks further than they are led. Ah, then they are given to believe that He is the Alpha and the Omega. But now the necessity not to trust in those small things, but that we are led further, that we may be placed upon the rock. Our fifth thought, the declared mystery in this vision. And then we read in verse 11, oh, it is true, in verse 10, the prophet has seen more and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. The plummet, that is a plumb line. You know what that is, boys and girls? Carpenters, they have a level to see if the wall is level. In Bible times, they never had a level. but he had a string with a weight. And then they would hang that beside the wall to see if the wall was straight. Oh, also instruction. Oh, in the further work of the Lord. Then the soul is given to see that plumb line and their wall. They had hoped that it would become a perfect wall. But now our last thought. Then answered I and said unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? Thus now the prophet, he has heard much, he has learned much, much to tell the builders. But now he was given to focus on those two olive trees with two branches and the pipes going to the bowl with that golden oil. And then he was given to inquire, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And he answered again and said unto him, what be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Thus the prophet, with everything that he has received, with everything that he has seen, with the encouragements in this vision, the Lord has a people that needed to be instructed in everything. The prophetical office of Christ. And now two olive trees. Who do they represent? We think of olive trees in the Bible. Then we shall mention a few things about them. And then we shall have the answer. In the first place, they are a very important tree. We may even speak that they are the king of trees. Because in Judges 9, when Abimelech, the son of the concubine of Gideon, has killed the 70 brothers, an awful thing. But then Jotham was given to escape. And then he has returned and spoken from a tall hill to that people. And he said, the trees of the wood, they have sought for a tree to reign over them. And which tree did he ask first? The olive tree. But the olive tree said, I shall not leave my fatness. Then they have asked the fig tree, shall not leave my fruitfulness. Asked the vine, shall not leave my wine. And then they have asked the bramble. Thus that shows that the olive tree, we could say the king of trees. Who is the king of kings, boys and girls? That is the Lord Jesus Christ. They tell us that olive trees, that they become very old. There are even some that maybe even think that there is perhaps an olive tree in the land of Israel so old that dates back to Bible times. We do not know. But who is from everlasting to everlasting? That is the Lord Jesus Christ. The olive tree was a useful tree. Oh, the oil, for oil in the candlestick, the wood, the cherubims, the post of the doors, they were overlaid with gold, that is true. Thus a useful tree. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ, he has come to save his church. We read in Psalm 128 that the olive tree is a fruitful tree, where it speaks of the blessings of marriage, that it shall be with those little olive trees that grow around the big olive tree. When we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, the multitude that he shall save. It is a valuable tree. It is a beautiful tree, we read in Hosea 14, verse 6. His beauty shall be as the olive tree. Oh, it is true. They tell us that the trunk is knurled, that it is greenished, maybe for many not so beautiful. Oh, so it is for the unconverted. Do we not read in Isaiah 53 verse 2 that there is no form nor comeliness that we should desire him? Then further we read with the gathering of those olive berries in Isaiah 24 verse 13 that the tree is shaken, and in Deuteronomy 24 verse 20 that the olive tree is beaten. Oh, what a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was wounded for our transgressions. His chastisement was upon him. Then further, then those berries, they are put into olive press Gethsemane. That means olive press. And then the oil of golden color. And now the prophet was given to see. Then said he, that was the angel, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Then we could speak of Zerubbabel, the leader out of the tribe, the prince out of the tribe of Judah. Then there was also Joshua, the high priest, out of the house of Aaron. Thus then we speak of the kingly office and the priestly office. Thus we have said, then surely when the prophet was given to see those two olive trees, they typify the blessed meritorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the candlestick, the oil, that points to his prophetical office, Zerubbabel to the kingly office, and Joshua to the high priestly office. And now the Lord has already said, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. There are so many mysteries that the church needs to be led into. Ah, that work of the Spirit, that is such a mysterious work. John 3, verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, thou heareth the sound thereof, but thou knowest not whence it cometh or goeth. Oh, so is that blessed work of the Spirit. When the Lord starts to work in our heart, then there can be so many questions. We cannot explain it, but we know that it has become different. Oh, to taste of the good things of the Lord. But now the prophet Zechariah, then he was led further into the mystery of salvation, the blessed work of the Holy Spirit. Ah, then the candlestick we have mentioned the last time that the work of man is not really mentioned in this vision. But then the prophet was given to see all from those two olive trees. And there were two branches, two golden pipes, and that golden oil that was given to flow to that bowl. And it was dispensed through those pipes for those seven lights. And so the prophet was given to see the blessed work of the Holy Spirit, that oil shall continue to flow. The Lord shall never forsake the work of his own hands. What a vision for encouragement for the church. Do we also need encouragement, congregation? Do we need comfort? And do we need instruction? Oh, it is declared that the temple, that it shall be finished, spiritual temple, the first stone, Adam and Eve. What a stones have been added. And the great builder, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is still hewing out those stones. Oh, they need to be shaped. That is a painful work. But they shall be brought to that temple. And that temple shall be finished. This congregation, there is still room. that temple still stands in need of lively stones, my unconverted fellow travelers. May you be given to beg. That you may be a stone, even if we may be a little stone, but part of that temple. And then it shall be well for time and for eternity. For the church. What an instruction. And what an encouragement. I am the Alpha and the Omega and the exhortation. Oh, I hope that there are a few guilty souls. So silent. So still. Maybe sometime tears. Of course, church is not so glad when children are born. They begin to speak right away. Nevertheless, despise not the day of small things. Do not have to put a name on it. But you may honestly tell what the Lord has given, what the Lord has done with the desire that he may be praised. But also the further leadings, not to rest upon it. We have heard of that headstone. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, when we have never become a stone of that temple, when we can still find our life in the world or in our religion, wilt thou begin that good work that we may be wrought upon, that we may be hewn out, and that we may receive a place in that temple. And, Lord, when thou hast begun, wilt thou spare? May that become sin when we despise the day of small things. And, Lord, thou knowest the many fears. And to that end, wilt thou confirm it when thou cometh over by renewal? That is the best assurance. But, Lord, we have also heard of that headstone. Wilt thou grant the further leadings? Wilt thou watch over us in the furtherance of this Lord's day? Grant traveling mercies. Bring the congregation under the means of grace. By renewal in this evening hour, wilt thou help remember the consistory special way, the brother elder who may read, may it truly be a may. Wilt thou stand on his right and on his left? Wilt thou grant Aaron's and hers? Remember all those that have an active part, the doorkeepers, those who may lead the congregational singing, and those that may take care of the sound system. Lord, wilt thou also grant unto us in this evening a few words to speak in a sister congregation that all awaits for thy blessing. It is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Wilt thou forgive us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 247, let us only sing 1 and 6. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. 247, only 1 and 6. I receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee.